You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Tomorrow, December 2nd, marks the anniversary of the winter storms in the Upper Lynn Canal that triggered a large landslide which killed two people and swallowed up homes in its path. So joining us now is the reporter who covered this disaster, Claire Strempel, who was working at KHNS then and is now a member of our staff here at KTOO. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Shelley.
Thanks so much for coming on the show today. You were working at KHNS at the time of the landslide. What can you tell me about the days leading up to it?
The days leading up to it felt like fairly normal days. Working from home, though, this was in kind of the height of that first COVID winter. But the days leading up to the landslide were slightly stormy, but nothing wildly unusual. But it was when the rain really started to fall on Tuesday or on December 2nd that we really knew something was wrong.
When did you first hear about what had happened, and how did it feel as it all unfolded and information was coming in and details emerged?
It's interesting. When people who are outside of the community of Haines think of that day, they think of the one major landslide that's a huge scar on the mountain and a kind of a focus of a lot of the coverage. But that day started really much earlier with landslides in another part of the Haynesboro that also destroyed homes and took out roads, and that was at about 6 a.m. So we were covering what was the beginning of a long day of disastrous events. Starting from early that morning, power was spotty in town. Downtown was flooded. The airport was flooded. Those landslides knocked out the road to the ferry and the fuel dock.
Wow.
So Haynes was really cut off pretty completely. I remember we had a medevac in the morning that had to land downtown at the public safety building because it couldn't land at the airport. There was road damage. People woke up to just a pretty grim morning, and then it wasn't until the afternoon that that side of Mount Riley let go and the beach road slide happened.
Wow.
So
Up to that point, what was your experience with covering natural disasters like? And can you share a little bit about the journalism background that you had and how it maybe helped you through that time?
I didn't have any experience covering natural disasters. I guess I'd been fairly lucky until then. But my colleague Henry Leisha and I did have a lot of experience in town. And so we just got out there and started reporting.
I have really clear memories of just really becoming familiar with your voice during that time before I ever met you, before we moved here, because we were hearing it a lot over the days and weeks that followed the landslide. And my heart just went out to you because I know there aren't that many reporters in Haines. So I can only imagine the kind of pressure that was on. And then how long were you just reporting on that every day before you got a little bit of relief? What was that time like for you?
Oh, that time was busy. That was a sleepless time. But there was so much support. Again, my colleague Henry Leisha, and then, we knew that the CVN reporters, the Chilkat Valley News newspaper reporters, were out there as well. But there was huge support from the network, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and especially from the station. Rasha McChesney came over on the first ferry that was able to come in. And that was after, I think, 4 days, and that brought over, geophysicists and a whole bunch of relief, not just for the news team, but for all of Haines. I remember so much aid came on that ferry, and it was a big relief to have the roads cleared and have them be able to come in.
When was the last time you were in Haines?
Yesterday. yesterday I was visiting family and friends for the holidays, but also checking in with some of the people who I spent a lot of time with over the course of those days as the disaster unfolded and as the recovery began. So,
and 1 year later, what is the state of the site and also the community?
There's been a lot of healing in the last year. If you take a ferry into Haines, you'll definitely see the scar on the mountain. It's covered in snow right now. But there is a road that has been that was put in over the summer. And some people are even in their homes at the very end of that road now, which is, to me, a sign of recovery. But it is still hard to think about and look at. And the public works in Haines has been, you know, busily fixing, trying to do long-term fixes on so many roads went out. Kind of hard to overstate. And of, you know, over 20 households that were permanently displaced, I think only 7 are still looking for a permanent housing solution.
Oh, wow. I was wondering about the damage to property and to homes and if people were still displaced. I'm happy to hear that most people are back in their homes, but still some being displaced must be difficult.
It's difficult. You know, I talked to some folks who I've, you know, been talking to since the disaster happened who have moved on because their homes are still in an unsafe place or in the path of a potential slide. Others who are looking to come back to Haines, some are as far away as the North Pole, some in Georgia. But still, you know, I think this week is heavy on their minds.
And of course, 2 people lost their lives in the landslide. Did you know either of those individuals?
Yes, Haines is a very small town, and everybody's pretty connected.
I understand there is a memorial being planned.
Yeah, this weekend, and that's going to be out, I believe, at Picture Point in Haines, and hopefully will be a moment of healing when people can really come together again.
Do you know what they have planned for the service, for the ceremony?
I don't have the schedule. That would be a great question for the for the organizers. I won't be there, unfortunately, but I do know that I believe some faith leaders are going to be speaking as well as the mayor.
Any other thoughts or reflections 1 year after such a terrible tragedy in which you were so close to?
Of all the people that I've spoken to, everyone said that they would never wish such an event to happen or to happen to anyone else, but they were grateful to see what people could do when they came together. I think the response in Haines was pretty spectacular.
That's great to hear. Is there any resource or, I don't know, a particular article or images or anything like that that you would maybe, I don't know, that comes to mind as something that really memorializes the event for you?
Oh, any one thing. I wish I could say there was, but nothing is coming to mind. I think it was such a diffuse disaster. There were so many points of action, of kind of destruction and of reconstruction and of aid. I'm not sure. maybe the smell of coffee and the piles of food and clothes out for evacuees that were in the Legion.
I also have a hard time picturing any one image, but I did take the ferry to Haines over the summer, and the scar was very visible in the mountainside. Everybody on the ferry was looking at it and was talking about it. It's such a obvious reminder of that day and what happened, more so than any, I think, than any memorial monument could ever be. It's just, you can't not think about it. You can't not see it. You can't miss it. It's scary, actually. It's kind of a disturbing image.
Yeah, one of the geophysicists who was out in the early days of the disaster monitoring rainwater said to me, "The mountains are beautiful, but they're dangerous." And that is a reminder that we live in a place with a very active geology, and that is not stable always. But yeah, looking out at that right now, you know, it looks like it hasn't changed at all. But when I was speaking to the mayor, Douglas Olrude, he was talking about how long it might take for things to grow back. And he said he was hoping that people, too, could grow back in that way. And he said, you know, there are things that grow back quicker. There are kind of those early plants, the alders, that come back. But there's also some rocky terrain. And I think Haines is just going to have to follow that process as well.
I know there had to have been talk in the community about what could this happen again, and how could we prevent it? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm by no means an expert, but the community is waiting for a report from a contractor who's been studying the slide in the area and doing a lot of monitoring, and they should be getting more results on what the possibilities of a slide in that particular zone at Beach Road might be in the next month or so. But as for the rest of the area, I mean, so much of Haines was on, or of the more densely populated town site was on evacuation alert, and to what degree that area might be unstable in a future heavy rain event, or the area out Lutac Road, I'm unsure.
Right. Can't predict the future, but it is something to think about. There's a lot of other homes and people who could be in the path of a future slide as well. And here, too. I remember talks about avalanches and landslides really picked up after what happened in Haines, and the city started looking pretty closely. I don't know if it was a coincidence or related or not, but it was. It all seemed like it kind of was front of mind suddenly after what happened in Haines.
Federal geologists have said that Alaska is now kind of the landslide frontier of the nation. We're having the weather conditions that are prime for landslides, and that's just a reality that this region is having to face.
Claire Strimple, formerly of KHNS, now of KTOO, part of our news team. Thanks so much for being with me today to answer some of my questions about the Haines landslide 1 year later. Anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
No, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here.